again, everyone, and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and I'm here with the better half of the podcast, Tristan Vick. How's it going, Tristan?
I'm doing great. Just got done with the workout, so I feel like half the person I really am. So
half your body tied behind. Never mind. Well, anyways, so we're a few days removed from that hot, sunny afternoon in Frisco, where FC Dallas had their Texas sellout against LA Galaxy and their Perry Kitchen, and I guess Zlatan was there too. This episode we're going to break down that match, but we're going to try out a different quick new short episode format. We're going to each pick our two biggest talking points from the match. That'd be like the two things that we each want to talk about from the match. And then we're going to, well, and neither of us have shared with each other what those would be. So it's going to be a surprise to everyone here, folks. And just, so then we're going to talk about them, see how it goes. And Tristan, so do you want to go first or do you want me to?
You can kick it off, man. Go for it. What's your first point taken away from this match? It was a fun match. It was hot. Had a couple water breaks. What you going to go with?
Winter slices. I had like four, but I'm going to whittle it down to two because that was the rules that I set up. And if I don't follow my own rules, then what kind of person am I? The first talking point I would say is I labeled a tale of two midfields. I think that game was won for FC Dallas in the midfield, and it was lost for LA Galaxy in the midfield. The Galaxy had terrible touches in the midfield. They'd get passes from the defense and they just spill it. Like they were trying too hard to try to get that ball up to the forwards, to Ibrahimovic and all that. And every time they would spill the ball, we were right there to pounce. And I haven't looked at the turnover stats, but if there is such a thing, I would venture to say that there were a lot of them, and FC Dallas was on the right end of that in the midfield. Part of that, I think, was from the pairing of Kellen Acosta and Carlos Grezo. I thought that pairing was strong. You can see, looking at the defensive stats, you see Grezo has a nice little shield around right in front of the box, and Acosta's kind of he helped out on the wings a lot. And I think once he was out there, he was able to actually distribute the ball pretty well. And I think it was a good first outing back for Kellen. And so, tale of two midfields. That's my talking point number one. What do you think about that?
I mean, I would agree with that for the most part. But towards the second half, as it got later on, FC Dallas's defense gave up quite a few shots. I forget which article or which writer it was. I think it was the Morning News spoke about, I think we gave up something like 19 shots. And only six of those came after the red card. So it's not, I would agree with you that we're breaking up some offensive attacks quite well.
Only three of those 19 were on target.
Yeah, I get that. But I think it shows that we still are somewhat vulnerable. I mean, maybe we're only letting them take poor shots. I also think one of the reasons why we looked a little bit better was due to the fact that there was no Gio De Santos, who is a pretty good center midfielder for the LA Galaxy. He plays really well with the team, although LA Galaxy is in a bit of a slide now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Kellen picked the perfect match to kind of come back and play 60 minutes. Maybe he gets a full 90, maybe another 60 minute run out this weekend. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I've got a little bit of point on Grezo later on, but I feel you on the midfield being won by FC Dallas. I definitely think we bossed that midfield.
Yeah, man. Okay. Do you want to go with your first one or shall I go with my second one?
Yeah, we can ping pong off, man. This is a pretty original idea we've got going here. So might as well
first done here.
Innovate on the fly. We're a bunch of Albert Einsteins, if you ask me.
I have a dog named Einstein.
That's right. He's a good dog. The biggest thing that I found was our defense, and this kind of goes off what we were talking about, was above average in the way that it's playing. But if you look at our defense, it is as fragile as a chandelier from Costco, and there is no return policy. I mean, the big thing that hit me was when we saw the red card was, crap, who are we going to have at the center back? And I guess Figueroa is going to come in and play, and that's nice to have. But if you look at our center, our back line, we cannot afford injuries hardly at all, or at least long term with the same standard of play. And I think that's one area that it's a hard area to really provide deep cover for. I think the biggest part of finding good cover is having a season where you're able to sub in and out and give matches to different players through whether it's cup competitions. And maybe we'll see a signing just before the US Open Cup run in order to do that. But I would expect us to sign another center back, because if you look at the pipeline of players we've had, haven't you noticed that there's not really a whole lot of center back activity? I mean, we got rid of Zimmerman, got rid of Atiba Harris, but like, we don't have a lot of cover back there on that back four.
As few goals as they've let in this season, comparatively, you're right. There's not a whole lot of cover and not a whole lot of depth there, especially at center back. I mean, I guess Minor's, you know, as able a deputy as he can be, but do we want him taking an extended run if any of these guys get injured? And yeah, it's a good point.
And the problem with that, and I have more on that, is the biggest problem with that is when you have a center back who's coming in to kind of plug and play a defense, if they don't have that type of experience with the other center back they're paired with, it's a tough one to get. Obviously, we don't have a guy like Zimmerman who had a lot of experience in 16, played really well with Hedges, but well, I could see that being an area where we need to maybe invest a high six figures in, or high for FC Dallas. So I'm thinking 400,000 worth of salary base in terms of a center back who's either somewhat left and right footed, or just a really strong left footed center back that you can have and kind of plug and play that's got experience. I didn't write too many names down, but there is one idea that I'll throw out there. This transfer talk, man, you got to do that gossip.
I mean, all year round.
Well, the English window actually opens up on Thursday. And so
Thursday,
yeah, it opens up early to coincide with FIFA. They have some weird new standards. And so they're actually opening up this week. And one team that actually has some options that we should take a look at is Stoke. Jeff Cameron, he's only 32. They just got relegated. And last I checked, Jeff Cameron he obviously wants to play abroad. He's talked about how much it means to him to play abroad. But before he was playing abroad, he plied his trade just a couple hours south of here in Houston. Didn't mind it. He played there for 4 or 5 years. Really liked his time in Houston. And I could see Jeff Cameron being somebody we get to bring in, because he would do two things. He would provide a good mentor for Hedges, but also he'd be a good mentor for Acosta and Ulloa and some of the other younger guys in the midfield, because that's where he can also play. And he puts that pressure on them to maybe give a different look when we want just kind of a field general out there to organize things. I think Cameron might be somebody we take a look at as a designated player signing. People may say I'm crazy, but I think Jeff Cameron would fit in well with FC Dallas.
You're crazy. Crazy.
I think it's a crazy good fit. So there you go.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed on that defense, when I say we're fragile, is we overcommit. Like, we're pretty aggressive.
Yeah, that Ziegler stab where he like just stabs in and tries to get the ball, and a lot of times he misses, and then he's up a creek.
Yeah, against a team like LA Galaxy, unless it's, I don't know, LA Galaxy is a weird team, and they're playing kind of shorthanded up front at times, but I thought whenever they put on Boateng, they really looked quite dangerous on the sides, and he really went after Reggie Cannon, and Cannon needs to learn to stay on his feet on these tackles, man. He's had a few of these where it's one area of the game where I think you just kind of learn as you grow with that match experience is it's kind of lazy to go in for that slide tackle or to think that you're the most athletic and you're always going to get to the ball. Sure. He's learning the speed of the game, which is what Tim Vickery's talked about, which is what anybody who's ever talked about pretty much in any sport, like what it means to be a professional is the speed at which you're expected to be able to play. And Reggie's still kind of behind the eight ball on that.
Yeah, he's still thinking about things a little bit before they're doing them, which causes that delay.
Yeah, and this week it led to a goal, and that's not to say that's going to happen every week, but it's happened in the past this season already a couple of times, so it might be a good thing for him to maybe take a look at some tape, sit down with the coaching staff, and maybe look at ways that he can keep that physical presence without having to always win, yeah, like slide tackles and crap, because honestly, it's just like it's the next way to develop the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's from the sounds of it, like from our interview with Buzz last week, it sounds like they're working with him pretty extensively on getting that mindset and getting used to being the guy for a team. So
yeah,
he's only 19, so there's lots of room for improvement there, lots of time.
And then one thing I noticed this week that hopefully won't be as much of an issue was distribution. I think mentioned to you at the game.
Is this your second point?
No. This is on the fragile defense.
Oh, still but on that one. Okay.
Yeah. The way that our defense kind of can be, it can make or break the match. I mean, our offense obviously bossed the game, and Hedges had a really good match. But I feel like Maurer's distribution could be a little bit better coming out of the back. I'll be really excited to see how we play against a team like Vancouver who can let in goals unexpectedly. You were watching some of that match. They're pretty wild. I think that we have a good chance of getting the 3 points if we can kind of tighten up the back a little bit. Maybe Figueroa coming in there gives us a little bit of a spark. But I would like to see some better distribution out of there. And then just a more aggressive Grezo. Kind of get that bite back that he's always had. He's played really well this season, but maybe just kind of tighten it up even more at the back now that Kellen's back and he can be a little more free to roam back and kind of gobble anything up in front of the goal mouth.
Speaking of Kellen, this is not related to one of my points. So, but just real quick, I just was thinking about Kellen's game, and I remember that play where Zlatan just shouldered him off the ball. And then after that, he got mad and he came back and made a fantastic defensive play. Wasn't overly aggressive, but it was aggressive enough and he won the ball back. And I remember last year during the Gold Cup or shortly thereafter where we were talking about Acosta and we were talking about how he just kind of seems to have trouble getting into a game. And then whenever he gets mad, he like angry Kellen is best Kellen. I think we saw a little bit more of that in that game too. So hopefully we can just like, maybe we can have Ashley Cole come and yell at him before the game and see how that goes. Although he yelled at Reggie. So, all right. Let's moving right along. Tristan, you have a second talking point.
Yeah. I just thought that I'm kind of on this is that we're a little bit of an undisciplined team at times. And that's mainly due to how many new faces I think we have on this. When I say undisciplined, I'll give examples, but also just kind of explain what I mean, which
you're talking about like composure types in tough situations.
Yeah. Like being able to kind of get through a match, see it off. We never really felt like we had won the match until the final whistle went, which you don't always have to say for some teams. One of the examples obviously was the Cannon and Ziegler slips and the lapses and decision making, but furthermore I felt like the tracking back on some of those defensive errors were just, we got up 3-1 and kind of got a little bit lackadaisical, and I think that Oscar might bring that up in terms of looking at the positioning and whether the positioning was right for that to allow for them to LA Galaxy. Their second goal was just one of those weird bunch balls where they make a good run and we just don't really shut down the channels. It's really easy to go back and look at game tape and kind of see where somebody's mind or positioning awareness like switches off. So I would hope that they point that out.
Yeah, I bet
so that we
Oscar had that video passes. Playing in the dressing room by the time they got back.
I would hope. And it was, I mean, they had all day to do it afterwards. But the other problem is that we've not really been in too many situations where we're like chasing the game. And that's useful, but I also think it would be nice to, and it's weird to say this. I mean, obviously I want 3 points, but like you want to know if this team's capable of like going down a goal at home and like fighting back, which we've seen them do that before. With Coleman. I mean,
we had the Toro game. We had the Real Salt Lake game. We had, I think one of the other ones where we were down and like, I think we talked about, yeah, I felt like we were playing some of our best football when, or soccer when we were down a goal and chasing it and just playing without abandon.
Yeah, I thought the RSL match was a good example of that. You want to see that kind of on the other side, maybe tighten up the focus a little bit. The one thing I will notice is I don't think we'll have another home match like this for a little while. It was a bit of a weird circus atmosphere, I felt like. We both noticed it and how many like Zlatan like dreamers there were and Galaxy fans that came out of the woodwork, which that's fine. It's Dallas. Like we're a weird city where most people like you didn't grow up here. I didn't grow up here. You didn't live here 10 years ago. I didn't live here 10 years ago. Or maybe you did, but it was close to 10 years ago. Yeah. It was
actually,
very close.
Yes, I did. I'm old.
Yeah. You've been here almost 10 years now. So there you go. Yeah. But most people didn't live here 10 years ago. And so there's obviously a lot of people from California or Galaxy fans that liked Beckham or Donovan. And so you're going to have that. But I felt like it was a little bit more of a circus atmosphere. And you're not going to see that circus style atmosphere going forward for probably any of our home matches, except for maybe the Atlanta United match and maybe a couple of the Houston matches, but definitely not a match with star power type draw like Zlatan has, where you just have this weird crowd that's kind of there to see, like, make the monkey dance type of a atmosphere, for lack of a better analogy. And so I think that our team will start to get more disciplined, and we haven't really faced a ton of adversity besides Kellen's injury. So how we deal with that red card and the suspension of Ziegler will be nice to see this weekend. Vancouver's a good team. They're just below us in the standings. So I'm hoping for 3 points, but I want to see our team mentally really tighten the ship too.
Yeah. And those two last points you make dovetailed quite nicely into my final talking point. I was going to make it the red card again for Ziegler. At the time, I thought it was not a good call. You thought it was, looking back at the tape. And then you changed my mind. And then looking back at the tape, it looks like it was less obvious than it looked like from behind. But it's not reviewable. But I decided not to make that my second point. I'm just yammering on about it right now. My second point would be LA, it's kind of an off the field thing, kind of like the circus you're talking about. It's the FC Dallas team store selling LA Galaxy merchandise inside the store. I think that's unacceptable. I think it's a quick ploy to make a buck. I think it ultimately damages your, I guess your ability to market. I just think it's just not good. It's not a good look. It's not, it seems like, I think Taylor Twellman, had a little piece on it. They posted it on Big D Soccer where he basically, talking about it being like, it's the MLS of 10 years ago with Freddie Adu being marketed outside every other stadium. Come please play Freddie Adu. Except for this time it's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I'm kind of newish to the MLS, but I thought we were past that, you know?
No.
No?
Here's all I'll say. It worked. We got the biggest crowd we've had in 2 years.
It's true.
So,
but
as much as you want to say they shouldn't do that, you're not going to sacrifice 4,000 or 5,000 paying seats or ticket holders. And nobody was like, come see Zlatan and buy a Zlatan shirt. So I'm just saying,
yeah,
it worked.
I think that if you got all those people there, you need to be like, hey, come support the home crowd. Or
and I will give them credit. They did give they did get Dirk Nowitzki. They got Harrison Barnes, Dak Prescott. There are probably a couple other people that I missed who were there from some of the other Dallas sports teams. So I think Dallas is unique, and the FC Dallas that is unique in that they can draw players from those other teams a lot easier because it's a smaller, more intimate atmosphere. Whereas like I've gone to Mavs games and stuff and nobody really cares. I mean,
sure,
people care, but you're not going to get like, you might see one cowboy down there, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Well, that that is all of our talking points. Do you have anything else before we go, Tristan?
No, man, I think I'm good. I'm excited for this weekend's match. I'm going to try to catch as much as it is. I'll be out on the wine trails of Fredericksburg, so I won't be there. But maybe in between sips and bottles, I'll have a chance to...
That sounds a lot more fun than what I'll be doing.
Hey, enjoy your grandma's 90th birthday in Tulsa.
You betcha. Yeah. Hopefully I can find a place away from the hundreds of grandkids and or great grandkids that I can kind of pull out my phone and watch the match. So
you should be able to blend in really easily then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there, Tulsa was named the 10th unhealthiest city.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Which isn't too bad. Oklahoma City was number one.
Maybe I'll run into Jesus Ferrer up there.
Unlikely. He better be playing.
Yeah. I think I looked and they actually don't have a game there this weekend because that was something that did cross my mind.
Well, there you go.
They're playing in San Antonio this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So, anyways. All right. Well, we will catch you next time, folks. We got a guest lined up for you next week. And once we get that confirmed, we'll let everybody know on our Twitter, which is at Dallas Soccer Show. I don't think there's no E in soccer. I think that's right. I don't actually look at my own username. At Dallas Soccer Show on Twitter. And yes, so stay tuned there and you can hear the latest news when we have it. And yeah, see you next week, folks.
Later.